Greetings. This is Greg Coleridge of the Northeast Ohio American Friends Service Committee. Joining us today is David Cobb, the National Outreach Director of Move to Amend, as well as a principal of the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy. David has been brainstorming across the nation for the last couple of years on behalf of Move to Amend as it works for passage of the We the People constitutional amendment to establish that only human beings possess inalienable constitutional rights and that money is not free speech. Of course, Move to Amend and those of us working on it realize there is zero chance that this will happen unless there is a broad and deep social movement demanding this, which is also a part of David's barnstorming tours to help create and nurture such a movement. David recently barnstormed across Ohio for more than a week. Welcome, David Cobb.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I just wanted to start out. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes. To ask you, I guess, sort of rhetorically, how many barns did you speak in while in Ohio?
Well, you know, fair enough. You know, it's interesting that the concept of barnstorming actually comes out of the mighty populist movement of a century ago, where the idea was that organizers were literally just traveling across the country, educating, agitating, and oftentimes were, in fact, speaking in barns. So the reality is I did not actually speak in any barns. I did actually speak at churches, at labor halls, at basements, at libraries. I spoke at public places. And the conversations were always the same, Greg, to acknowledge the fact that these large transnational corporations are not merely exercising power today, but they're ruling over us. As surely as masters once ruled slaves, or as surely as kings once ruled subjects, that a small ruling elite, using the corporate form, are exercising power because they're actually making the public policy decisions. Now, that's not a surprise to anybody. What, in addition, we're doing, though, is that not only convene space to have that kind of honest conversation and acknowledge reality together, but also to say, as you mentioned in your introductory remarks, what will it take to actually make We the People a self-governing people? And that requires us to acknowledge the fact that in its inception, this country was not a democracy. The concept of We the People in the United States Constitution originally only meant wealthy, white, male landowners. And the acknowledgement that it took social movements, broad, deep, conscious, politically educated and aware movements uniting together to challenge entrenched power of the wealthy few. So we learn from those past social movements to recognize that if we're going to change the legal definition of who is a person with rights under the Constitution, it's going to require the kind of multiracial, multi-ethnic organizing that, frankly, the American Friends Service Committee has been at the forefront of. So we at Move to Amend acknowledge with both humility and hope the ability to learn from, collaborate with, and ultimately organize together with American friends across the country.
Well, and we certainly here in Northeast Ohio believe it is very important to collaborate in looking at some of the ways to build such a wide and deep social movement that transcends single issues. You know, you brought up the whole barnstorming period of the populists, who, as you well know, and many listeners know, also during their time spoke out against corporate power and corporate rule. Truth of the matter is, things are worse today. They were involved in social movements that didn't seem to work. So I guess kind of my slightly challenging question is, well, why be involved in social movements they didn't seem to be all that effective during the populist era? Why not just simply stick to elections? Certainly, well, there seems to be right now quite a bit of energy in believing, is there not, on both sides of the political spectrum that maybe that's the way to bring about fundamental change, to shake up the political parties from within via the Bernie Sanders and the Donald Trump. So why not focus all of our time and energy in that arena?
You know, Greg, there's a lot there, so I'm going to break it down. I will address directly your question, but before I want to correct what I believe to be an incorrect assumption that was implicit there, the idea that the populist uprising was not successful. The reality is that it was successful, it just wasn't sufficiently acceptable. And I'm going to name it explicitly. The populists got a lot of stuff right. They organized hundreds of thousands of people. They were, in fact, using elections as well as credit unions and cooperatives and the sub-treasury plan, National Farmers Union, et cetera, et cetera. So a mass movement that involved both educating, organizing, as well as elections. But they failed to build a multiracial movement. And the ruling elite used the divisions around race. And so Move to Amend is absolutely committed to not crash on the shores of white supremacy or patriarchy or other ways that we have been successfully divided. It's one of the reasons we invest so much time and energy in internal movement education so that we, both at the national level, local organizers, state leaders, can all have a shared analysis on how we can build a movement together. So, again, the progressive populists got a lot right. They did not do a good job on race, and we are not going to make that same mistake. Now, having said all of that, I want to underscore and circle back to my point is that the populist and, frankly, every successful social movement has got to include an electoral strategy. In other words, you cannot simply ignore elections, but neither can you ignore social movements. I think that it is understandable that people who want social change oftentimes look at the terrain and say, either we need a social movement to change the culture. Elections are bought and they're just controlled by the wealthy, so let's ignore them and let's just build social movements to change the culture. It is equally understandable that others look at the terrain and say, no. Elections are where we elect people who are literally making laws and making policies. That's what matters. We really should ignore the social movement aspect and just focus on elections. And honestly, Greg, I think that both sides are right, which of course means both sides are wrong. And that's why Move to Mend is committed to doing both. And when you look at American history, I will submit that you will see that significant social change that actually worked is actually a simple formula to describe, very hard to do, but simple to describe, which is you need a mass movement, a social movement that is broad, deep, conscious, educated, aware of itself, and that it is challenging directly power. And you need an electoral arm of that movement that is actually running for office on the platform, the program, the philosophy, and the values of that movement. So it cannot be either or. It must be both and, which is a very difficult thing to do. But that's the recipe that Move to Amend follows.
Although it should be said, is it not true that Move to Amend is structured organizationally as focusing on the social movement side? You do not have an electoral arm, at least at the moment.
That's correct, and I think that's because we are a 501c4 organization. We are allowed, however, to lobby. We cannot electioneer for individual candidates. And let's just acknowledge that the ruling elite have created the entire notion of the 501c nonprofit industrial complex in an attempt to depoliticize social movement. So we are not merely an education arm. We are a movement arm. And we, as a C4 rather than a C3, we can actually make demands, which is to say that we do not electioneer on behalf of individual candidates or particular political parties. However, what we do is make demands. That includes hosting candidate forums. It includes submitting candidate questionnaires, bird dogging candidates for office. And you know, Greg, we're going to make every candidate for office in upcoming elections, whether it's for president, Congress, state legislature, county commissioner, city council, dog catcher. If you're running for office, we at Move to Mend want to put you on the spot to ask you respectfully but firmly, do you oppose the doctrine of corporate constitutional rights and money of speech? If so, will you support the We the People Amendment? Yes or no? We'll ask every candidate for office that question, whether they're a Democrat, a Republican, a Green, a Libertarian, or an Independent, whether they're an incumbent or a challenger. We ask everybody that question, and then we simply give that information to the growing number of people within the Move to Amend Orbit so that voters will make their own decision. So that is a way that we are actually engaging electoral politics without electioneering for candidates. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does to me. Hopefully it does, and I think it probably does to those listening at the moment. Just before we move on, I think it's implicit, but for me it's important that when we talk about this sort of dichotomy between elections on the one hand, social movements on the other, and you have very well spoke about the interrelationship and the need that each has for each other, that implied in social movements, I believe, is not simply the need and desire to try to change the structures, but also embedded in that is the need to create alternatives. Now, maybe for some, it would be easier to think, well, maybe that should be separate unto itself, an, if you will, third leg of this stool, that yes, we need to elect people, be focused on an electoral side. Yes, we need to organize people at the grassroots to change the rules, but also we need as part of that, or maybe separate, but interconnected, this third leg, or embedded in this second leg of social movements, something about creating some alternative structure that represents both symbolically what we want, but also meets some immediate needs right now, which can be a recruiting arm, just like the populists did through cooperatives.
Well, Greg, I completely agree with the description that you gave. And the way I think about it is the overarching theory of change, which is that we change the structures not on a philosophical basis. We're doing it because we have tangible needs as human beings for food and shelter and community and companionship, et cetera. So for me, it is embedded in the notion of social movements that we're actually getting our needs met. And ideally, we do it in such a way that we are creating institutions that are actually part of and parallel with both the social movements and the idea of engaging elections in an authentic way. For example, the support of credit unions and public banks and monetary reform, but as well as cooperatives and community-supported agriculture product. There are a thousand, I'm reminded of the horrific phrase that Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan used about the notion of corporate globalism. They said, there is no alternative. It said so often that the phrase TINA was used. There is no alternative. To which I retort, ta-ta! There are thousands of alternatives. There are so many ways that we can nurture and create a solidarity economy that is actually based on cooperation, human need, rather than corporate greed and the idea of allowing a few to exploit and oppress the many. You know, at the end of the day, Greg, I think it's time for us to say unequivocally that the economy exists to serve human needs, that human beings not exist to serve the economy. We really got it backwards. So I completely agree with you, respect and appreciate the fact that you remind us that we have to provide tangible benefits to people, that our lives collectively and individually will actually be better when we are actually meeting our needs together.
Right, right. Yeah, very well said. I just want to shift now to some alternatives, different kind of alternative, I guess you could say. There are quite a number of people, in fact, as we speak, that are focusing if you will, on sort of an alternative way to get at greater, quote-unquote, democracy or self-governance in our society by focusing on one of the two pillars of the Move to Amend We the People Amendment, that of getting money out of elections via something that's being called Democracy Spring. Why isn't Move to Amend significantly supporting this? Hey, it's a stepping stone toward what it is we want. Maybe half a loaf is better than a whole loaf. You know the argument. We hear it a lot about working toward and hey, getting a little bit is better than getting nothing at all if you have sights that are too ambitious. So what's your reaction to those efforts that are focused on singularly or more so on the money equals free speech piece of this, void of focusing on corporate constitutional rights?
Well, first, I want to acknowledge, appreciate, lift up, and honor the fact that there are mass protests and arrests happening right now in Washington, D.C., associated with Democracy Spring. I have nothing but respect for people willing to put their bodies on the line for what they believe in. And that is absolute, that is without qualification, genuine respect. And I think it is a shame that their only demand is to get money out of elections or to overturn Citizens United. I mean, the reality is overturning Citizens United just gets us back to the good old days of 2009. You know, we did not have a functioning democracy then. Even if we got all of the money out of elections, the legal system could still be used to allow corporate lawyers to overturn environmental protection laws, worker safety laws, public health laws, public policy would still be in the hands of the ruling elite. So my only critique, and I hope it is perceived and felt to be a constructive critique, is it's really not going far enough. So I personally have been arrested for nonviolent civil disobedience. I was not inspired to participate in Democracy Spring because the demands did not seem to be commensurate with the historic moment and what we actually need. So, you know, again, Move to Amend is not investing considerable resource. I know that many Move to Amend supporters are there. We absolutely, you know, we understand that. We have done nothing to try to prevent people from going, in fact, encourage them if they were so moved to go. But our limited resources are being spent investing in a movement to abolish the concept of corporations having constitutional rights, because, frankly, we think that is part of the linchpin for how the ruling elite are controlling our society, because it's not just through elections. It's the legal system itself. And literally this notion of corporate constitutional rights legalizes the theft of democracy. So just getting money out is critically important, but it's just not enough.
Right, right. I think one of the additional demands of the Democracy Spring, and I concur, it is just very inspiring to see the hundreds of people that have risked arrest here forward will be doing so through, I believe, the 18th of this month. They are also focusing on issues around one person, one vote and voter suppression, which is vitally important as well as a supplementary. It is definitely an impediment to create.
There's no doubt about it. Again, at the end of the day, Greg, what I know is and have publicly said and written and organized around is we have to democratize society, which means we have to democratize elections itself. Bluntly, we need publicly funded elections and instant runoff voting and proportional representation. And we have to end the interconnection between the racist criminal justice system and felony disenfranchisement that works to actually prevent people who are convicted felonies from voting in so many states, which, as we know, the racist nature of the criminal justice system actually works to disenfranchise many people of color. In addition to that, we have to fight back against these outrageous so-called voter ID laws, which, of course, these voter identification laws are are not solving any problem, because there's actually not a problem. There are, across the millions of voters every year, there's one or two, perhaps at most, even allegations that somebody has attempted to vote illegally. So in reality, what we know, and in fact, a congressperson has literally admitted it in a corporate media interview, these voter laws, voter ID laws, are targeting poor people of color who tend not to vote for Republicans to try to prevent them from voting. So it is an outrageous attack targeting poor people of color in order to prevent them from exercising their right to vote. So we have to democratize elections. But I'm going to circle yep. that, Greg. We have to democratize our economy as well. You know, we're allowed to have little small niche cooperatives or CSAs or credit unions and so forth. But the reality is the legal system and the political system and the economic system are actually facilitating private property rights, facilitating the destruction of Mother Earth. We actually have to shift all of it. And that's the reason that I, again, just think that the demand was not deep enough. It was not broad enough. But that's for me, right? So those who are risking arrest, I just want to repeat, thank you for that. And let's find ways to collaborate and work together and actually be for what we're for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we conclude, just wondered if you might be able to give just some brief overall comment on what I and many people in AFSC appreciate, and that is planning. AFSC has been around for almost 100 years, and one of the less desirable parts of what it is we do is having to take time to set aside from doing work externally to doing work internally, to figure out what we want to do and how we want to do it, and then once we do it, to circle back and reflect on that and revise it. And it's a god-awful process and can be laborious and boring and make your head and body numb. But doing a plan multi-year is something that I think is in part one of the reasons why the service committee has been around for 100 years. And so toward that end, I really respect Luke Gumenda has come up with a very ambitious 10-year plan. Can you just briefly summarize some of the high points of what that is and when that's going to be launched and how people can become a part of that?
Absolutely. You know, Greg, remember that Move to Mend began with 12 people in a living room in tent, with an intent. Today, we are 404,000 people and growing every day. We're getting larger, stronger, better organized every day. And it did for the first several years. Remember, we had no process. We had no protocols. We had no organization. We had no institution. We had nothing but an idea and passion. So we have been sort of evolving as we go, but I'm really proud that now we have, for the first time, a draft 10-year strategic plan with objectives and benchmarks on what we think it will take to successfully amend the Constitution to abolish corporate constitutional rights and explicitly state that money is not First Amendment protected political speech. And it's clearly open for change as we go, but even more, it has been open to our local leaders, affiliates across the country. We've got about 60 to 75 local affiliates across the country that we have engaged in this process. We'll be unfolding it publicly at our leadership summit in May, which is the final document after we've actually literally gone through every single proposal that was made. The national leadership team has gone through a very laborious process. Almost all of the suggestions made were incorporated in one way or another. Later today, I will be on a phone call where we're going through to finalize the plan that will ultimately be submitted. And I also really want to appreciate how you talked about the internal work, because it's not just strategy. It's also the internal work of perfecting our organization. You know, Move to Mend, we have a commitment, as does, I know, the American Friends Service Committee, to be explicitly anti-racist, to be explicitly a justice-oriented organization, to recognize that we do not want to participate exploitation and oppression. In fact, we want to dismantle the systems of exploitation and oppression, including those within our own hearts and our own heads, because of the kind of world that we live in and were brought up in. To that end, internally, we have created an internal movement education program that all of the leaders, whether at the national level, the state level, or the local level, go through a process together, doing readings about past social movements, about white supremacy, about about homophobia, and look at movements before, what they did right, what they did wrong, what can we replicate, what should we avoid, and just a series of questions. And at the end of that process, Greg, each of the local groups culminates with a written strategic plan for solidarity organizing within their local affiliate. So just as the Move to Amend has a national strategic plan, we're encouraging local folk, and we're working with them to help them do the same kind of planning that the Quakers have done, and imagining to do it at the local level. And I want to say this, even as we do that work in terms of the internal organization, we recognize that there is an external messaging component. We know that there are many Americans who will agree with us on the need to abolish corporate constitutional rights and get money out of elections, who will not agree with us on our progressive vision or our fundamental values. So for those folks, we say we want to work with you. Please help us advocate for the We the People Amendment. You need not become a Move to Amend organizational local leader in order to support that task. So how do we go deeper? How do we expand? How do we bring people into leadership who share our values? And honestly, Greg, how do we influence people who do not currently share our values to help bring them along in the process? All of that is part of the 10-year strategic plan as well. Again, we're not saying we have the recipe, because frankly, I've never successfully amended the Constitution. What I have done is recognize that only organized people can exercise power in this country. And so I'm trying to figure out how to best do that. And then the last thing I want to say with humility and sincerity is I actually don't think I've ever really changed anybody's mind about anything. What I have, however, done is had my mind changed when people ask questions, and I've helped other people think about things more deeply by asking the right questions. So that's what we're trying to do. It is a sincere effort to shift the culture in such a way that we have the ability and the confidence to actually build social movements, create those alternatives that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, ultimately shift the entire society to a more democratic, peaceful, just, and sustainable world for ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren.
Well, thank you, David. Appreciate you taking the time and in being so well-spoken and certainly as passionate as ever. Those of you who heard David in the flesh in Ohio certainly picked that up even more so when you were pressing the flesh. I want to thank you for being with us. To receive more information about Move to Amend, go to their website, movetoamend.org. If you would like to get something started or furthered in your community here in Ohio, give our office a call, 330-928-2301, and we are certainly willing to help you either get started or to restart or to further the energies along in the Move to Amend direction. And part of, you know, the quest is not necessarily to give up what you're doing, but to contextualize what you're doing and to see some of the more root causes and impediments that we think, and why we at AFSC have focused so much in this direction, is believing that we simply cannot go very far alone by simply focusing on traditional forms of education, advocacy, and organizing. So thank you very much, David Cobb.
Thank you, Greg. Much love to all.